My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 24th of July 2009 at 8:40 a.m. Please could you tell us your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
My name is Patrick Perring. I'm born on the 16th of June 1962 and from London.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
At the moment, not very nervous. But I'm sure as I get into the JCB, in full view of all these people who may have come to see me, I'll start getting a bit nervous. But I'm sure once up there, I'll get even more nervous.
How did you first hear about the project?
The press, when it was in the early part of the year, so I think I must have been quite an early entrant, applicant. I can't even remember, but it was probably in May or June, I should think, when I applied. But it was on the media, and then I found it on the website and all that kind of stuff.
And what is it that made you apply?
I think it's just a great idea. I've always liked Trafalgar Square. In certain respects, it's the centre of London, and it's the centre of anything British. It would have come from Trafalgar Square, whether it's good or bad. You know, Trafalgar Square represents kind of Britain in a way, and I think Britain can be an example to the world because of all the people who come here and have lives for themselves. And you know, I think that's Trafalgar Square represents that. And just to stand beyond the plinth for a brief moment in time is a privilege.
Do you think this project is a good way of showing the people of the UK?
I don't know. I mean, it should be. I mean, but I guess it's a long way for somebody to come if they live at the top of Scotland. So I mean, maybe should be some more fourth plinths in other parts of the world, Britain at the same time. I don't know, but I just live around the corner, so it's good easy for me to get involved. But then, having said that, London has a great cross section of people here, so it does represent Britain. So, but it would, you know, but it's a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Are you a follower of Anthony Gormley's work?
I'm aware of obviously the Angel of the North and the. That statue on the beach somewhere, which I'm aware of it. I wouldn't go around saying I'm a follower, but then I wouldn't say I didn't know anything about him. So I'm kind of halfway in between.
So what does the project mean to you in being in Trafalgar Square on the plinth?
As I said, it's just a representation of being able to do what you want in London. I don't know if that necessarily applies to all of Britain, because you know, Britain does have its, well, some parts of Britain are a bit not so tolerant as London, but London, for example, it just you can do what you want here within, you know, as long as it doesn't harm anybody. People can make a positive contribution to all kinds of things here, and I'm not claiming to be artistic or anything like that, and I don't think what I'm going to do is particularly artistic. It's just I just thought this is what I'm going to do on the plinth because I think it fits. It fits at the moment.
So what will you be doing for the hour?
Well, I'm going to be imitating a cricketer waiting for a ball, and I have the gear, the cricket bat, the cricket clothing, and some stumps. The reason I did this, or why it fits in, is that Trafalgar Square is a kind of, as I said, is the centre of Britain. It's also the centre of, you know, it represents British British conquests of, and empire building. You know, Trafalgar Square. Trafalgar was a battle which was won by the British over the French. All about creating empires, and cricket was part of that empire. I'm not saying the empire's good. I wouldn't necessarily agree with the British Empire, but it's cricket was part of it. So I just thought it fits in with being part of Trafalgar Square, because that's all about British sort of moving about the world in a way.
And how exactly will you be doing that? Will you be frozen for the hour?
No, God, I can't. I mean, I've been a model for an artist, and I can sit still for about a minute, and as you can see, I'm fiddling around now. So, and I thought cricketers can't stand still either. They wait for the ball comes, and then they either run or they sort of move about scratching, itching, talking to themselves, flashing the bat about, stomping up and down, stretching, which is ideal for me because that's the kind of, I can't sit still.
What do you hope will happen when you get up on the plinth?
I hope I pace myself that I'm still actually doing what I started to do at the end of it, and don't get sort of, you know, nervous that I should be doing something more spectacular, and just be patient, because I've looked at people on the webcam, and they just, once they're up there, seem to be in their little worlds doing what they want and not trying to make a big splash, which you know, it's not about egos, it's just about doing what you want to do for on that very unique place. So I just want to sort of relax and not get too carried away with being up there or worried about it. I don't want people to throw things up, though, at me, like eggs and tomatoes or anything like that.
Would you like people interact?
I don't. I guess this isn't an interactive kind of thing, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, they can shout at me, but I'm not going to respond, I guess, because I guess I'm in character of some sort. I'm doing a sort of piece rather than being myself. Which I, yeah, but as it says, you can do what you want up there. So I mean, I think that's beyond the parameters of the project. So,
do you have any expectations about what it will be like up there?
Well, practically, on a practical level, I don't want it to rain. I guess it's going to be a very unusual view, and I'm going to have my breath taken away briefly, well, maybe for the whole thing, but I mean that expanse of Trafalgar Square down Whitehall and looking at all those people is going to be quite distracting. And I mean, I want to do what I want to do, and I'll take my camera up there, I might just take photographs for an hour, because it is quite a view. And I'm sure I haven't got vertigo, I'm sure that's not going to be a problem from another practice point of view. I don't want to be the first in the net. Has anybody been in the net? No, okay. I really don't want to be the first in the net.
So what is it that you do when you're not taking days to go up on plinths?
I want to be part of the plinthing circuit around the world if that starts up. I write. Right, but I'm elaborate because I'm having a day off.
Would you not tell us what it is that you write?
Well, I've written a screenplay which I'm waiting for some development to happen on. I'm helping somebody write a book about themselves. I guess it's not quite ghostwriting. I've written some comedy, lots of checks, shop lists, you know, that kind of thing, notes to myself, anything, I'll write anything.
Is writing something that you've done for a long time?
It has, but not full time. I'm now trying to do it full time, which is kind of nerve wracking, but kind of challenging in a good way.
Would you mind telling us how you got into writing?
I used to be an amateur actor over in Hammersmith, a place called Common Stock, and we had to write a sketch of some sort or a little short piece, and I started writing on a really old typewriter. I thought it was quite like that, because I actually got tired. I didn't like acting particularly. I prefer, because I remember being in a play once where I didn't actually like what I was having to perform. I didn't like the script, and I thought, well, I'm going to try doing better than this, or I want to do what I want to do rather than what other people say, right? You know, and so I thought the means to do that is to write. And I had two plays on in the Soho many years ago. They didn't affect any of the award ceremonies anywhere around the world, unfortunately, but well received by the three people who went, and so that was a good encouragement, and I've done some poetry as well, which wasn't very good, but you know, you have to go through that phase in your life, I think, if you want to be a writer, is to write poetry and then realise it's rubbish.
So have you always worked in the arts?
No, not really. I've worked in sort of mainstream commercial world, sort of working in offices and warehouses and phone selling and all this kind of stuff. I was a DJ once as well, you know, all kinds of things.
Have you participated in arts projects or events before?
Depends what you mean by arts. The broader sense of the word, being an actor is arts. My pictures of me were in an exhibition once in Atlanta, in America. So, and I went to that, and I guess that was me participating because some of the pictures were of me. And modelling, I would guess, is an artistic event, although nobody necessarily gets to see it. I've stood up and done my poetry, which I guess is also, but in terms of actually fine art, I haven't participated except being a model.
So it sounds like you've done a lot. Where did your interest stem from, and how did you get involved in all of these things?
I don't know. I mean, I guess people do a lot of navel gazing to figure out how they ended up where they are. I've got my maybe private thoughts about how I ended up inclined towards expressing myself, if that's what you call it. But I wouldn't want to. It's not something I particularly want to talk about. I guess that's my little. Everything else is you put yourself in the. What's the best way to describe it? You display your emotions enough, I think, being any kind of artist or whatever. And I think it's, you know, some of it has to stay private, I guess. If that's all right.
To help us get an idea of everyone going up on the plinth, we're asking people what are the things that are important to you in your life at the moment. Would you mind, Fingers?
Okay, yeah. Oh, I see, right. Right now, it's a bit early in the morning for me. I like the freedom to, at the moment, to write what I want to write and try and get that done. And that's just having the time to do it. I have briefly, and I've worked a number of years to have that time. So then being able to go. To move about, to go around the country, have a look at the country. I like going to Scotland, and I want that, you know, that's important to me as well, some time to do that. Money's always good. Health, you know, all the regular kind of things. And enjoying the summer, the brief British summer. And just doing what I want to do, being rising to any challenges that I have to rise to.
And who would you say that you're doing this for?
That's a bit psychological, that question, isn't it? I don't know. I guess it's for me, but then that's probably not the right answer. But you know.
And how would you summarise your experience of the project since you first applied and to this moment now?
Well, it's kind of odd because I do remember applying quite a long time ago, and having decided what I wanted to do pretty quickly, it was kind of good just to sit back and watch it all develop and feel confident most of the time that what I'm going to do was going to be okay. Having said that, I mean, I was a bit worried that there'd be loads of performers up there doing stuff that was artistic, and you know, my stuff would look completely rubbish or completely out of context. But having looked at what people are doing, you know, it fits in entirely because you basically just do whatever you want. And so that's it's just confirmed that what I originally thought the project would be like, just people doing whatever they want to do up there. And as I'm sitting here watching a guy on the toilet at the moment, and that's amazing. You know, that's brilliant. And actually not sitting watching a man on the toilet, really. He's on the plinth on the toilet, obviously, but that would be most peculiar, wouldn't it?
Do you feel the pressure to perform on the plinth?
On the one hand, this is a totally unique experience. It may be done again in the future. It's like Big Brother, you know. Big Brother started off being unique, now everybody's bored of it, perhaps, and it becomes, you know, part of the current regular life. I mean, if this is a unique experience, I feel it's very unique, and I feel a pressure that you've got to make the most of that hour. I mean, I did see one guy standing up there just talking on his mobile phone in the rain. But having said, you know, that, I can understand that. But I don't know, you know, I shouldn't judge that. But that's what he did. So, and I don't know if he really fulfilled that or not. And I mean, I don't really know if I'm going to fulfill this or not. I don't really know how far you should go. You can make a political statement for an hour. I've noticed people have done that. You could stand up for a charity for an hour. And I guess I haven't done that or won't be doing that. Is that answering your question still? I mean, you have this opportunity to say a lot of things. I guess I want a day off from that, because I kind of think I say lots of things when I'm writing, but thinking, and this isn't about thinking for me, this is just me going and doing this thing, and hopefully people find it amusing, because it's tongue-in-cheek. I'm not seriously standing up there waiting for a ball, obviously, because it's not a cricket pitch. Well, it might be. Yes. In some people's eyes, you can make it a cricket pitch. A very small one.
Right, and is there anything else you'd like to tell us or add before we finish that we might not have asked
you? I did forget to, that when I was talking about the cricket, yeah, there is this... a lot of people don't understand cricket because they're not, you know, if they're not from places which play cricket, they must find it most weird game, and it is probably because most games go on for 2 hours. This one goes on, you know, for 5 days, and the Ashes are on at the moment, so I think it, you know, it kind of fits in with that. But it, I'd like tourists from other parts of the world who aren't familiar with cricket to stand there wondering what I'm doing, and just to give them, you know, a little bit of further excitement as they walk around Trafalgar Square.
Are you a cricket fan?
I watch cricket. I can't play. It's not. I play other sports, football, but I don't. It's not a game you can just turn up in the park and play easily. But I do like to watch it if you can, or listen to it.
And what do you think you'll do when you've had your hour on the plinth?
Hopefully the people who've come down are still there, and I'll meet up with them, and then go back to regularly start doing that. Unless I've suddenly gone through some kind of cathartic change and become completely different, having been up there, which is always possible.
Who's here with you?
General people I know. Some people I've known for a long time, people I've known for a short period of time. And there's people, hopefully I've got people watching in Australia, the Caribbean, St. Lucia, New York, Scotland, France. You know, who obviously can't be here.
What have people's reactions been to you telling them that you're doing this?
Some of it's a bit worrying, because some of the people are coming down, and I think they're going to be like, they've been buying vegetables to throw, and I think they're relishing the opportunity to heckle. And I've been heckled by them before, and it's all sort of fun, I guess, but I just wonder how far they'll go in the heckling. Stakes. What else? Sorry.
How would you react to heckling?
Oh, heckling! I don't know. That's what you asked me this earlier. I'm going to have to ignore it and just pretend I didn't hear it. Sound doesn't travel upwards very easily. That's one thing. I hope, unless there's some kind, strange kind of thing going over on Trafalgar Square where it does. So hopefully, I won't be able to hear too much of it. All right, thank you.